Hey friends, we wanted to take a quick minute and personally invite you to two really special gatherings coming this fall. First, our intentional motherhood retreat in Portland, Oregon, October 15th through the 17th, and then our intentional fatherhood retreat in Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Honestly, these retreats have become so much more than events for us. They've become spaces where people encounter God, experience healing, honesty, friendship, freedom, and real transformation. We live in a world that is full of information. We have podcasts, books, content, advice, but transformation requires more than information. Sometimes you need space, you need community, you need honesty, you need the presence of God, and you need to get around other people who are fighting for the same things you are. At these events, we've watched marriages soften again. We've watched fathers come out of hiding. We've watched mothers breathe deeply again. We've watched people feel seen, known, challenged, and deeply encouraged. And we would genuinely love for you to join us. You can learn more and grab tickets at intentionalparents.org. And for all things fatherhood, you can visit intentionalfatherhood.org. We hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast.
Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. We're so grateful that you take the time out of your day to listen and to engage with us and to leave comments and rate the podcast. And it honestly helps us more than anything, give us feedback to know that we're creating content that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it helps us be able to reach more people and help more parents. So if you haven't done that already, we'd love it if you just take a minute and rate the podcast, leave a comment, tell us what you'd like to hear more of, what's helpful, what's not. Any feedback like that is super helpful for us. But today it's just mom and I, which we do occasionally. Mm-hmm. I just feel like so often there's things we have on our hearts, not just for moms, but oftentimes it is the role of motherhood that is obviously a burden to our hearts because it's what we are. But there's so many themes that we hear from women all the time. And I know if you've been a mom for any number of years, you hear the same themes that all of us are struggling with really similar things. And yet somehow the enemy leads us to believe that we must be the only one and that every other mom must have it together. And we hear from culture all the time that you really can do it all. Right. You can have the career and have the perfectly beautiful home and cook dinner every night and have perfectly dressed children. And we somehow, even though we know that that's not true and that that is not everybody's reality, somehow we like internalize that lie. We're fed it enough that we subconsciously internalize it. So something we hear all the time is moms just being overwhelmed, like that word specifically. Mm-hmm. I'm overwhelmed. Yep. How do I do it all? Mm-hmm. And I know that I have been lost in that sea of overwhelmed for the last, honestly, probably 5 years. I've been a mom 12 years, and I think I was in it before, but really the last 5 years, like, felt it significantly. And I know, mom, we talk about it often. It's not, you are past the age of having kids at home, and you still use that word.
anymore. I should not be overwhelmed anymore. Yeah.
So our hope today is we're going to talk about, like, okay, well, why do we feel that way? Like, where is that coming from? What are some lies we're believing? What is the truth? And then we're going to get practical. So for all of you who are like, yes, yes, I know I'm overwhelmed, tell me how not to be overwhelmed. Sorry, we're not going to tell you how not to be overwhelmed. But we have learned just some practical things along the way that may help you. They may not.
It may not help at all.
Yeah. But I think more than anything, like, our hope is that you would know you're not alone. I think that we say that a lot. And I know that, like, maybe subconsciously we know that, or we know, like, up in our head, okay, yeah, there's other moms feeling like I am, but we're not rubbing shoulders with them every day. We're not seeing their disaster of a house all the time. We're not living in their reality. And so sometimes we think that our reality must be abnormal. And so we're here to tell you your reality is normal. It's very, very normal. But Mom, I would love to ask you, like, I feel like motherhood and what is on women's plates today does feel different than when you were raising us. And yet, it doesn't mean that you weren't overwhelmed and had too much to do.
Right.
But what was it like for you raising us? Like, did you hear that theme all the time of moms just feeling like, I cannot do all of this?
Not really. I mean, honestly, that wasn't the topic of conversation when I was at the park with other moms. Not really, because there were only two categories. There was, you either were a full-time stay-at-home mom, period, or you were a career woman, basically. There was no, very little part-time work for women. There was no remote work for women.
No.
You either went to the office and you built your career and you left your children with somebody else, or you were a stay-at-home mom. And so what I'm seeing now, what is added to it, is these women who consider them, and they are, they're stay-at-home moms. Yeah. Their kids are with them the majority of the time. But they're also...
But they
also need to
home.
Work because they have student loans, or they have...
Which is the hardest job on the planet. Like, working from home with your kids.
I
work very part-time. Yeah. And it is like, it feels impossible.
It
so
does.
You moms who are working full-time from home and your kids are at home, even if they're in school, they're still home a large chunk of the day, and you're expected to play all of those roles. Can we just, like, take a minute and acknowledge that, Mom?
Just a moment of silence.
Yes. Like, that is admirable.
Yeah.
Way more than one person could do.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason you're exhausted and overwhelmed.
Exactly.
That's a lot. And I think we often don't acknowledge that, Mom, enough. Like,
right.
And that is what, especially through this whole pandemic, that is what so many moms are doing and will probably be doing
and now schools are closing again, so their kids are all with them all day long, and online school isn't working for most kids, not very well, so they really need a parent right beside them, kind of being the assistant teacher or something. So so we're all overwhelmed right now. We are living in an overwhelming time too. And so some of the overwhelm we feel is just in the air that we breathe. There is something going on. I think someday when, you know, the book of Revelation is all about peeling back, you know, the layers that shield us from time and peeking into what's really going on. And I just think someday when Jesus comes back, we are going to get a picture of this time era of what kind
really
of warfare was going on that we couldn't see that made us all feel so overwhelmed. So we can't discount that. I mean, yes, we're going to get practical, but we can't discount is that the prince of this world, who is a defeated foe, and yet he still has tenacity and has a place here, is also messing with us. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I think so many, you know, we've talked about this before, but I feel like it needs to be said all the time to remind us that the way the enemy works is by these little half-truths.
Yeah.
So we will start to internalize and believe something that is maybe has like a little bit of truth to it, a little bit of a truth of something deep in our character or something we've experienced, where maybe there's like maybe 10% of it is true, but 90% of it is a lie, and we believe that it's true. And so I think where I see it with this topic specifically is all of us moms just believing, like, if I'm overwhelmed and disorganized, it must mean I'm doing a bad job. And that there's,
I just need something wrong.
Yes, that I just need to get in gear. I need to get my life together and I need to figure this out. And I would say there are some things you can do. We're going to talk about some of them. But we are also living in a time where we're more isolated than ever before, which means many of us are more depressed than we've ever been.
And anxious.
And lonely. even when you're with your little people all the time. I know I've personally never felt so lonely. This past year has been the most, I'm like super introverted and I don't need a ton of time with people or with friends. Like I need very little. And I have felt it more than, I've almost felt myself like just switch of like, no, I actually need to be with people like this. I'm not supposed to be this isolated. Like I felt it in my soul. And I had a counselor say to me a couple years ago, and it just always stuck with me. He was explaining, I think I was probably talking about this very topic with him. And he was explaining that our culture says that we value and respect what moms do. We say raising kids is the hardest job on the planet. Like moms are amazing. Happy Mother's Day, you know, like we say that as a culture, but yet nothing in culture actually values and supports moms. We say what you're doing is great. And then we leave her alone to do it. And I think just knowing that is so helpful to know that, okay, like, yes, what I'm doing is important, but I don't have the support that I was made to have. Even if you have a great community and live close to family, we don't live in a village anymore. We talk about this a lot too. Like up until the Industrial Revolution, people lived like together. They did life together. And we don't live that way anymore. So the expectations on moms is more than one mom could ever handle.
But, you know, even in the 80s when I was raising my kids, though I don't think it was as epidemic as it is now, I felt overwhelmed almost all the time. I was raised with two of the most highly organized people I've ever known. I mean, I've said this, I think, before, but it's actually really true. If not hyperbole, I never, ever remember my mom even one time cleaning out a closet.
She kept them perfectly clean all the time.
She just never deviated from putting things away where they belonged. And I'm always cleaning out closets. It's just, I'm always going through the house and doing these, going through every single closet because they're all a disaster again because I got in a hurry and I just threw it in
there. Me too. I got it from you. I need the Grandma Waterman way of being.
So there are some of us who are just, are always going to be, we're never going to get the ideal world that we think. We're never going to be completely caught up in our laundry. We're never going to have only a clean refrigerator. You know, these so ridiculous. They show these, I'm so drawn to them too, these pictures of refrigerators on Pinterest. Where everything's like in a color-coded jar and all the vegetables washed. Well, if like I'm up here in Bend right now, we're 3 hours away from my home in Portland, and we had somebody coming to a house sit and dog sit for us. And of course, what am I doing late the night before we leave? I'm cleaning out my gross refrigerator for the sake of just like this poor girl coming to live here. And you know, I threw away two garbage bags. I mean, it was all the Christmas stuff. Of stuff that I overbought on and I couldn't quite bring myself to make the decision to throw it away. And I just, it's not Pinterest kind of refrigerator. You open that door at your own risk. But some of the stuff is we just have to realize if we are, especially you young moms, if you're going to do a really good job of loving your kids and loving your husband and taking care of yourself and even being a support to a few friends in your neighborhood, you are not going to have a perfectly clean, organized, got it together life. The people who are the best, the people I know who are the best at loving people do not have a perfectly ordered home. They're late a lot. The car is messy. One of my favorite friends, I was absolutely shocked to get into her very nice car and see it was like messy. And I thought, here's like one of the women I revere and she has a messy car. Oh my goodness. That should tell me something right there. So can I just say, please lower your expectations unless you are like Elizabeth and me.
We can't. We hate being told to lower
expectations. Okay. Without it. So the burden's on us. I can't be okay with a messy car. and if that's you, then you have to do the best you can to cope with the way you're wired. You can't just close your eyes. I remember vacuuming my house. I mean, many hundreds of times, living in a house that had cheap carpet to start with. And then my toddlers would spill little thing. My husband spills coffee everywhere he goes. And there'd be these little spots all over my carpet. And you clean them and you clean it and they come right back. And I remember vacuuming my house with my eyes closed because I couldn't stand it. And there was no way we could afford to replace the carpet. And I had to live with this
mess. That is how I feel about my dark hardwood floor right now.
Gosh.
You've seen my floor.
It's like plastic. I mean, it gives vinyl a whole nother name. It's like a plastic
floor. It's like a dark vinyl floor with some sort of glossy coating, which
and
means
everything sticks to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you mop it and it looks like somebody just walked all over it. So, but I've made the conscious choice. We can't quite bring ourselves to spend the ridiculous amount of money it would take to replace it. Even though I really wish we could.
I know. I wish you could too.
But I had to make this conscious choice of like, my floor is always going to look dirty. And so I'm not going to mop it every other day in hopes that somehow I will somehow think it doesn't look as bad as it does. I'm going to be thankful about the fact that when it's dark, it looks totally clean.
And you know, in the wintertime in Portland, you know, the light is such that you really can't see how dirty
things are. But I live in Bend and it's sunny every single day.
Oh, and honestly, I did just hear about a woman from a completely different economic level than we are who is completely replacing the floors in her upstairs and downstairs of her big, giant, beautiful house. For this very reason, even she, who has a weekly house cleaner, is going crazy with it. So if you are of our ilk and you can't ignore it, to some degree, you just have to take responsibility for it yourself, I think, and say, this is me. I love beauty, not perfection. There's a difference between perfection and say, I'm a perfectionist. If we can say instead, listen, I want my home to be beautiful. I want it to be a place I can welcome people into and they can. Like right now, our sofa, I had this great idea of a off-white sofa. And, you know, I have no kids at home. I do just happen to have 7 grandkids and a big hairy dog. And so my sofa is just trashed. It's just a mess. But my 16-year-old grandson came in the door the other day after school. We pick him up at school a lot of times and bring him home. And he plopped on this, I mean, honestly, I'd be so embarrassed for you to sit on my sofa. It's really bad. Plopped on the sofa and just threw his arms out. And he said, oh, I just love it here. Aww. I thought, I've won.
That's it right
there. I've won. That's what I want. Yeah. I mean, my sofa is disgusting.
Yeah.
But he loves it here. So please, would you be encouraged? Your kids are not going to remember. They are going to remember that you're uptight about it. And Elizabeth, I was uptight about it, and now I passed it on to you.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what I think I love about, we talk about this of like, from generation to generation, things can evolve. Your parents were like extremely uptight. Their home was not comfortable to be in.
No, it wasn't.
I remember being afraid I was going to break something.
Oh, yeah.
I loved them, but like it was not a warm, comfortable environment. I remember the chairs being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. She didn't want anything messy.
Yeah. And then you had to work through how stressed out it would make you when there were messes and there were, we had 4 kids, there were a lot of us. And there were times when you would get really upset but you would always apologize. You'd always apologize. Yeah. I don't feel like I carry scars from that. But now with my family, I get just as uptight, like I need order, probably even more than you do in some ways.
I think in some ways.
But somehow I think because of how you were able to apologize to us and say, this is on me. Like, this is my, I got stressed out, not you stressed me out.
Right.
I got stressed out about this and I took it out on you. Somehow, not because I'm doing this all right, I still will like, I can, even though I'm not saying anything, Brooke will be like, you're making us all tense because you won't stop working. Like, well, I'm not asking you to help. He's like, I know, but I can just tell. Yes. Like, you're, so I'm not doing this perfectly. But somehow I've been able to recognize, okay, my need for this is not their need for this. Yes. It doesn't mean I don't have my kids' help. I absolutely do. But I don't need to put my need on them.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think that's the beauty of like, you see that from generation to generation, like there's slow freedom from the need for it to be a certain way while also acknowledging who we are. And I want to switch gears for a minute because I'm just thinking of the mom listening who's like, clean house, that is not my problem.
Yeah.
I can live in a mess. I can just, you know, kind of pick it up. We wish we were like you. But this is, overwhelm does not come just in running the house. No. I think there's also a lot of like relational overwhelm of am I meeting everybody's needs? Mm-hmm. I'm not responding to them patiently. I'm not teaching them enough scripture. I'm not, you know, like we're going to talk about that in another episode, like just this
guilt,
shame and guilt we feel as moms. But let's talk about for a minute the overwhelm that just comes from being a mom in general, not just running the house, but running the house while crafting these souls.
Right. And being women, the expectation on us as women now is off the charts. And I love Instagram. I mean, I follow mostly decorators because I love decorating, making things pretty. But that alone is a pressure. But then you see the woman who does the amazing birthday parties. And, you know, I was lucky if I remembered to get candles for a box cake that I made for you kids, let alone a whole birthday party with a theme. Mm-hmm. And what are these beautiful things they're doing now with these big...
The balloon arches.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, I mean, I could barely afford to buy helium fuel balloons. Yeah. We blew up the balloons ourselves, you know. The pressure on us to do things so beautifully and so professionally, everything we do, you know, is ridiculous, and we have to stop. We have to stop doing it. We have to stop trying to be amazing. Mm-hmm. We are not amazing. We are women who are broken, and we have limitations, and we have some giftedness, and we have a lot of areas of great lack, and we are forming souls.
Yeah.
And I think we need to take expectations off each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, where's the baby shower where we just everybody brings something to eat for it? And we just enjoy the fact that a new life is coming, and we give them the kind of thing that we wish somebody had given us.
Yeah.
We have to just normalize things, to make our weddings a celebration of a lifetime instead of the biggest party performance you've ever thrown. So there, I'm going to get off my high horse now, but we have to stop performing.
So yeah. And I think, you know, that just makes me think of, I don't know who I heard this from, but it's just always stuck with me, of just asking God what's mine to do.
Yes.
Because if we know that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, mm-hmm. we know that we are all different. We know that we all have different strengths. Like we know that, but we don't always live like that. We're just all supposed to have all the strengths. Mm-hmm. But if we can learn what are my actual strengths, what are the things that are life-giving to me, and do them, we've talked about this before, but do them. If you throw a great birthday party and you love it, throw great birthday parties.
Invite me.
Yeah. But if you don't, like me, and your daughter loves to make a cake, let your daughter make all the birthday cakes.
Yes, she does.
Buy the paper plates, like create the memory in other ways.
Yeah.
And I think as moms, especially right now, we need to, there's so much noise. There's so much, you should be doing this, and you should be trying this, and you should try this system, and you should eat this way, and you should feed your kid that way, and you should parent that way. It's so loud.
It is.
That so often, I know for myself, I will find myself in my home, working my tail off, running my house, doing all the things, taking care of everybody, homeschooling everybody, and feel this like chaos in my mind of, I should be doing this, and I should be doing more of this, and I should be doing this better, and why is this not working? I've tried this a million times. And I will feel like I'm like struggling to find the word, but feel like there is this battlefield in my mind where I'm not actually present in my home. I'm doing all the things, but I'm not present with what's actually happening. Yeah. I'm in another world trying to figure out how to do it better and what I'm analyzing, what I'm failing at. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I know part of that's how I'm wired in my personality, and there's always room for improvement.
Right.
But I also think there's just so much noise right now that all of us moms are experiencing that's keeping us from seeing the little people in front of us. Mm-hmm. Seeing our husband, seeing our actual gifts, seeing our limitations, and bringing God into all of that and saying, God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
What do you want this week to look like? What do you want me to say yes to? And more importantly, what do you want me to say no to? Mm-hmm. Because we have to say no to a lot mm-hmm. to be able to be present mm-hmm. and be a mom. Mm-hmm. And so I think that needs to be, before we get to anything practical or you mm-hmm. look into read books about different systems, there's so much information out there mm-hmm. that's incredibly helpful.
It is a whole podcast and whole bloggers and that really have the systems. I mean, they're the people who think that way, and they've been kind of gracious enough to show us how we could follow their way. Yes. It's all over. We're not going to try and do that here.
No. But I think if before we try to do any of that and then, you know, inevitably fail at various forms of that, to ask God first, like, what is mine to do? Yes. And wait and let him speak and listen. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that's helped me recently is also asking God, what am I doing well?
Yeah.
Oh. And letting him show
me.
What
a concept.
Yeah. And that, especially when it comes to homeschooling my kids, has like flipped it for me, because I was just sunk in several years of, I'm not doing enough. Maybe I need to switch things around and I'm not doing it right. And instead to take a minute and say, well, what am I actually doing really well? Where are they actually growing and it's working? And what if I just mm-hmm. press into more of that and just silence the noise that I'm hearing of all the more I could be doing?
Yeah.
You know?
I think the other thing that we need to be doing, Elizabeth, and that really helps me a lot, is take a step back and see the big picture. Yeah. What are the most important things? So I went even so far this year for myself to label those my MITs, most important things, and making sure that I'm focusing, I'm not losing sight of the most important things because I feel like I need to be saying yes to things. So Phil actually has a sign over his desk that I very strongly urged him to buy that says, start with yes. Because in his analytical way of doing things, he attacks a problem first by telling you everything wrong with it. And that's not very fun for me. I'm a dreamer and I want freedom to dream, and I will eventually come to my own conclusion. Oh, that was not a good idea. But for me, I feel like what I need a signboard. I was teasing him, saying I'm going to steal his and I'm going to cross out. Start with yes, and I'm going to cross out the yes, and I'm going to write no in big black graffiti. Honestly, this is my year, and I'm going to be doing this for a couple of years, where I'm going to start with no. I have to say no to everything but my MITs, my most important things. There's an end date to it, but for a period of time, I'm trying to tackle a little bit more. It's my choice. Nobody's making me do it. I'm tackling a little bit more than is reasonable. It's on me. Mm-hmm. So I need to start with no. There's a few people who I really want to keep investing in those people that are outside my most important things. And I will say yes but to them, but I will say it at, they have to fit into my schedule, which, oh, that's really hard for me to do. I know some people are so good at that. Well, I could meet with you at so-and-so a time. And I basically have to learn how to do that stuff. Yeah. But my MITs, I thought I had maybe too many of them. I thought I was just trying to do too many things until I realized they just fall into two categories. Honestly, I just have two MITs. My most important thing is, I put all together, is my family, relationships, and my home. Because my home is kind of the hub of where I do the family relationship. Mm-hmm. So my home and my family, they're my most important things, my most. So, and yet, strangely, at this age, they're the ones who demand the least of me. They're not going to get in my face and say, I need you. Well, Elizabeth, you do sometimes.
And I have most kids.
Yes, it's actually helpful. I never feel like I'm neglecting you that way. But, you know, sometimes my granddaughter Sunday is going to be turning 13 this spring. She's not going to get in my face and say, I need time with you, Emma. But I want time with her to invest in her life. So I have to say no to a bunch of stuff so that I actually will call Sunday and say, can I pick you up after school and take you out to yogurt and just build relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my number one MIT. My number two MIT has to do with intentional, which is also a job for me. And I went back to school. So I'm in grad school at the same time too. But it feeds into it feeds into work and my goals for the future, and then the writing that I love to do.
Yeah.
That's not too much. I mean, when I saw it that way, that I only really have two MITs.
Yeah.
And making sure that my life aligns, that that's where I'm spending my time, it really helped just take some of the pressure off of my head, feeling like I had too much to do. No, mm-hmm. I actually have 16 hours in every day. I don't have little ones like you do. And you can accomplish a lot when you don't have any kids at home. So just to give you courage, it's coming ahead. But you need to look at those little ones in your home and say, they are my MITs, them and my husband. And my home, I'm trying to create not so that somebody's impressed, but because I just love a place of beauty. And I want to create a home that's not chaotic, but not like you were talking about, mom, poor mom. I just hate to hear you say it.
Yeah.
That it wasn't a comfortable home to go into because,
it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, but it was, a little too perfect.
Yeah.
And honestly, I love the illusion of the idea that I could ever have a perfect home, but I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and then I bought this big, hairy, white dog.
Oh my gosh. Who sheds.
There is that.
So much.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I need one of those little robot things that goes around and vacuums your house all the time.
Yes, you do.
So what we're trying to say to you is overwhelm is normal. Overwhelm is not the end of it. Some of it, the battle you have to fight in your mind.
Yeah.
You have to fight and say, no, I am doing my most important things. And I'm not going to do what Diane did and take on too many things when I'm older. I'm actually going to have a good, clean, perfect house.
Yeah.
So that's fine. That's good for
you.
That's
what we have to look forward to. But yeah, let's switch gears for a minute as we end of just what are some, you know, we're not experts in this. There are so many organizational experts that can give you just the most amazing tools. I actually know that we're part of this like homeschool co-op. Yeah. And my friend Jamie just moved here and she is a professional organizer.
Oh, wow.
And I am so inspired every time I go to her house because her house is warm and inviting and not minimal. Like she has stuff. She has a lot of stuff. She has 5 kids.
Oh, wow.
They've homeschooled for ever.
Yeah.
Her oldest is 17, so a long time. And there's books everywhere. There's games everywhere. They're super creative kids. She has stuff. But she has the most, just like when you look at her systems, you're like, well, duh. Yeah, of course that makes sense. Buy that thing on Amazon. Do it. Like she's just brilliant. Her mind thinks that way. And she helps other women think that way.
I sure don't.
It's amazing. So there are people far smarter than us.
Yes.
But I think each of us are just going to share just a few things that have been helpful. And I really just have like one regular rhythm that I feel like if I don't do it, I'm way more overwhelmed and my whole week is off center. And I think I've even talked about this on the podcast at some point, but planning for the week on Sunday is, and you could do it any day, but for me, Sunday works because it's when I have time. I think it'd be great if I could do it on Friday so I could actually like put my mind at ease through the weekend and know when what's going to get done. But I just am not that organized and can't have I can't carve out that chunk of time on Friday. But I just like take a quick inventory of everything that's in the fridge, plan out what meals we're going to have that week, make a grocery list, make a big to-do list of everything that has to happen that week. First, I just make a big list of all of it and then take it all and figure out what day, trying to be as realistic as possible, what day I can do what in order to accomplish that to-do list throughout the week. What day am I actually going to go to the grocery store to get everything I need to do? Or I just started ordering groceries primarily, which to me, I actually like going to the grocery store. And it's like the one time of the week that I can leave the house. But I started using Instacart and it's fantastic. Yeah. I think I actually spend less money because I'm not impulse buying anything. So sometimes I will order groceries. And actually, Costco is the best place to Instacart because you don't have to take all your kids through Costco. I have a big family. So it's a full cart every single time we go. Yeah, and then it's getting it into your car and getting it home, which sounds very like America privilege right now. But Instacart's amazing. But just making plans like that, figuring out what day I'm going to do what. I plan out the kids' homeschool week.
Yeah.
I even like make a list for me of what things I'm going to need to do one-on-one with them. And in all honesty, like probably 80% of what I've planned out happens. I was it just never all say, happens.
I think, Elizabeth, this gives you a great illusion of control.
Oh, yeah. It makes me feel great.
For at least on Sundays.
Yes. And more, actually, I would say probably 60% of it gets done right now. Yeah. But yeah. In times past, most of it would get done.
Yeah.
And we're just in a season right now where if 60% of it gets done, great. But for me, that practice is way less about being productive and getting it all done. It's about getting it out of my mind yes. and out of my yes. body and onto a piece of paper.
Yes.
And then taking a minute to like do a once through of the house, make sure everything's yep. picked up. All the kids help. Brooke helps. We vacuum, like just getting everything ready just because the second Monday morning hits mm-hmm. and Brooke is at work and I'm homeschooling the kids. Like it's just, it's very full to yes. say the least.
Yeah.
So if I don't go into it ready, then I feel like my head is spinning
yeah.
all week long. So that, I mean, that is not revolutionary. I'm sure so many of you do this already. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, I would say try it. Like I feel like it's just incredibly grounding. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something a lot of us need mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. We have just kind of a list of random practical okay. things, Mom. What are some
couple
of the things
have helped me? I am not naturally organized. I'm not a strategizer. So a couple things that have helped me that I got through the millions of books, dozens of books I have read on organization, mm-hmm. and I'm still not organized. So one of the most helpful was the idea of dividing my day into 3-hour segments. Mm-hmm. So I know what I need to accomplish by this time, by this time, by this time. That really helped me just to feel like, oh, I can get that done in that 3-hour segment. I can get those things done. One thing that helps me a lot now that I didn't do when my kids were younger was I start tomorrow morning this evening.
Yes.
So I know too. Exactly. In my case, I'm usually writing first thing in the morning or doing some schoolwork or studying or IP work. So if I know where I'm headed first thing, then if I know that the night before, I get it. I probably save an hour of warming up to the subject and thinking mm-hmm. about it. So knowing what I'm going to do the next morning, the night before, this helps me, doubles my efficiency. I feel yeah. like it makes me much more productive. You mentioned once throughs. I don't know mm-hmm. how we came up with that name, but when my kids were little, I did these 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Because you can put, you know, you can put your house to bed at night. That's what I used to call it. Putting your house to bed.
Yeah.
Where everything's picked up before you go to sleep. It was really hard for me to do that because I'm always tired at night. Mm-hmm. I'm an early morning person, but oh, it makes my morning so much better.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, even doing that, by the time you're done with breakfast with kids, your house is disastrous.
Oh, disaster. Again. Yeah.
Blankies and pacifiers and diapers and clothes and unmade beds. And
right now it's art stuff in our house. I'm like, oh, I said I wanted yes. creative children. I had no yes. idea the mess that would
paying
bring.
A price for creativity. So once through your house, at least you know that a few times a day, your whole family is mm-hmm. going to whip through. Because what I've seen is we used to house clean. We had a house cleaning business in the neighborhood.
We had horses. So we had horses for their monthly. Yeah.
Yes, they're bored. We called it Comer Cleaning Crew. Mm-hmm. And we would do just a few houses in the neighborhood. And we charged a little money that people hired us
yeah.
as much as they could. But one house in particular, nicest person in the world, we spent our entire time picking up. We could hardly get to mop the floor because you know, the house was all tidy the week before when we left, but then that week we would come and it was just covered in things. So the mm-hmm. once throughs prevent that buildup. Mm-hmm. You know that once a day, twice a day, 3 times. I usually did it right after breakfast before we started homeschool. And then again, right before dinner before I started dinner because I just felt that pressure of messes everywhere. And then before I went to bed at night. Mm-hmm. And it didn't keep my house perfect, but it sure didn't get that huge buildup of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems so simple, but the other thing I do is I know that in the back of my mind, I have a bunch of puttering tasks that I like to do throughout the day. So it takes about 5 minutes for me at this stage to fold a load of, say, towels. Mm-hmm. Last night, I was at Elizabeth's house, and she had a gigantic load of everything from the dryer. Mm-hmm. And I have compassion on my daughter. She was having a date night with Brooke that they couldn't remember the last time they'd had a date night. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to fold the load and pose. It only takes a minute. Oh, it took me a long time to just turning all those clothes right side out.
Oh my gosh. I know.
Gosh. So, but there are some 5-minute tasks that you can just tell yourself to do. And I think that really helps. Mm-hmm. Because in reality, when you have young kids, I could not manage a cleaning day. Mm-mm. I didn't have the energy for a cleaning day. I didn't have the patience for my kids who were messing up everything. Mm-hmm. So I began to just assign. And, you know, I didn't think any of these up. This is all stuff I learned from the highly organized people. But if Mondays I cleaned the bathrooms, for sure, maybe hopefully mm-hmm. a few times in between. Tuesdays I did something. Wednesdays I did something. At least I knew, you know, I much prefer the cleaning day where it's all clean. I'm trying to switch
to that. But then it's not all clean at once.
I know.
But I don't have a whole day either.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing you did a really good job of, and I was a little late to it, but instilling it in my kids now. But there's so much that our kids can do to help us in some of those little jobs that we don't need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so good for them. You know, we talk about in our family a lot. We just say, you know, when my kids, this happens often when they'll push back, I don't want to do that chore. I don't want to have a family cleaning morning, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, well, do we all live here? Mm-hmm. And yes, mom, we all live here. And it's not just mom's job.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good for our kids. And say it cheerfully. Say, you know, it's not just mom's job. Don't take their pushback personal. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't want to do chores as a kid either. Mm-hmm. But helping to teach them that, like, we are all a family. We all play a crucial role. It is not mom's job to clean the house. Obviously, you're going to take on the bulk of it. And you're going to do a better job in most cases. But
or at least you're going to manage it.
Yeah. But I think the more we can bring them in is we don't even realize what we're doing for them in the long term when they have their own first apartment and they're sharing it with a roommate who maybe never learned any of these things. Yeah. And things like teaching them to do the dishes before you go to bed. It's worth it to wake up to a clean kitchen and not let it build day over day over day. Like you're teaching them that when they're seven and you're saying, okay, it's time. We're all going to pitch in. We're all going to get this last bit of cleaning done.
Yeah.
And you assign them all a couple of chores. You would just like quickly make us a little list. Actually, I feel like for a long time you had like type list for every day of the week. I'm not that advanced yet.
Yeah.
But I think that when your kids get old enough, I mean, 4 or 5, they can start to be. My 5-year-old thinks it's fantastic when I give her a job to do. Yeah. She doesn't push back at all. The older kids do. But I think that sometimes that we can lose that or forget how not only is that helpful to us, but it's actually like super helpful to our kids.
I think it makes them feel like needed parts of the family too. Yeah. And it honestly, it teaches kids to just take orders and follow orders. Because in real life, maybe someday you will advance in your career to such a degree that you're the only one giving orders. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever talks about is the weight on the shoulders of such a person. But most of us are going to be given orders and we have to do them. And we have to do them cheerfully if we want to keep our job. Yeah. And so teaching your kids to just do it because we're doing it and we're going to do it quickly and we're going to do it cheerfully and then we're going to go have some fun.
Yeah.
I think it's really, I think the kids who don't learn that are handicapped for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And here's the thing. One of the reasons we try and order our world and order our lives is because hurry is deadly to godly attitudes. Mm-hmm. As soon as I start to hurry beyond my natural pace, I'm uptight, I'm tense, I have low tolerance for anybody interfering or interrupting or spilling milk or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Hurry is just deadly to what we are really trying to do, which is create this home that is a refuge for our family. Yeah. And that's what I want. I want my kids, no matter how old they are and life goes really bad, to want to come home and feel loved and embraced. So all of these ideas, we're not trying to do it because we want a Pinterest-worthy refrigerator. It's because we honestly want our homes a place that we want to come home to, our children want to, our grandkids, our 16-year-old grandkids want to say, oh, I love it here. Jude's not going to notice that my closets are really messy right now, or the mm-hmm. garage. I can't get a car in the garage.
Yeah.
No. So remember why we're trying to do what we're doing.
Yeah. We want our kids to know, like, look back and say, I know my mom loved me. Mm-hmm. She loved to spend time with mm-hmm. me. You know, we're going to remember. Well, I don't know. I feel like so many older moms never talk about, like, oh, I remember when it was that stage. I was so overwhelmed. They mm-hmm. say, I remember when my kids were little. I miss yes. it so much. So maybe yeah. even a lot of this we're going to forget. That would be real nice. But I don't want my kids to remember, gosh, yeah, when we were little, my mom was just like stressed out and overwhelmed yeah. all the time. And yeah. I don't say that in a pressure-filled way. Like the no. reality is we are stressed out and overwhelmed. Yeah. And I think on the flip side of that, it's good to be able to mm-hmm. talk to our kids openly about that. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot on my plate right now yeah. and I'm having to bring it to Jesus. And we don't want the opposite to happen of like this false, mom is just perfectly fine all the time, because that's not true. But
and we know women like that. I was at a yeah. woman's house once when I was in the overwhelm stage, and she yeah. was in the same stage as me. And I asked her how she kept her gas. It was the first time I'd had a gas stove. How does she kept her gas stove so clean? And she said, I just don't spill.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought she was joking. I thought she was being sarcastic. Yeah. And so I kind of pushed back a little bit, and she said, no, I don't spill. And I just thought, okay, that's not, you know, my, remember Elizabeth, this is when we lived in Santa Cruz. You were what, 4 years old or something? And you, if, as soon as I went into the kitchen, you wanted to be in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You loved to be in the kitchen with me. And one of your favorite thing was to pull the kitchen chair up to the stove yep. and to stir something in the mm-hmm. stove. I mean, my stove looked like I had a 4-year-old standing, yeah. you know, there stirring it.
My stove looks like that, and none of my kids are in there stirring with me.
Oh, that's funny, because we were cleaning up the kitchen at your house last night, yeah. I wanted so badly for you to get home from your date night to have things clean.
You were so
but then
sweet.
Phil said, well, what about the stove? I said, nah, forget it. Doesn't matter.
And did I clean my stove today? Nope.
No.
Too many other things going on.
So here's what I want to leave as our final thing, unless there's something else you want to say, Elizabeth. No. There is this great verse in Ephesians, because it really comes back to everything we're saying is priority, align our lives according to the way Jesus would want us to align our lives, according yeah. to the things that really matter to him. And it comes out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and this comes out of the Christian Standard Bible, which I don't normally use, but I use an online version of it because it has such great comments, you know, about mm-hmm. what it really, the literal meaning is. Mm-hmm. So Ephesians 5, 15, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, mm-hmm. making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Now, that phrase, making the most of the time, literally means buying back time. Mm. So be careful how we walk. Pay attention. That's what we're doing in this podcast. We're paying attention to how we walk, not as unwise, not ignorantly, not just flinging ourselves at our day, but as wise, seasoned people, knowing what our priorities are, most important things. And we're trying to buy back time. We're trying to find the little niches of time in our day that are not in alignment with what our hearts love the most. And we're trying mm-hmm. to say, okay, that is, maybe I'll do that thing once a week, but I'm not doing that every, I'm not going to visit social media every day. I'm not going to read the news anymore because they're so mean to each other. And I just act like just like them if I keep reading them. Yeah. We're trying to buy back time. We're trying to be wise for whatever stage of life you're in. I'm in a stage of life where I'm trying to cram a little bit too much in because I want to. So I have to buy back time. I can't just watch TV at night. I study at night. And that's all we're really urging you to do, is realize mm-hmm. it's normal. It's natural. You're going to get better at this. You're going to handle it better. Mm-hmm. You're going to get less uptight about your house. And we're trying to buy back time because the time is short that we really have to be mm-hmm. making an impact on our kids' lives and to be with them all the time, or our grandkids' lives.
Yeah. And just as we end, if you're listening to this and you are feeling man, all of this is great, but even if I did all of those things and yeah. even if I had the right mindset, my mm-hmm. life is overwhelming. Yes. And the situation I find myself in is tragic or traumatic and is not fixable.
Yeah.
How do I live in that? We are going to do another episode on that. And you are not alone. That's mm-hmm. a similar place I find myself in. Mm-hmm. And all of the old ways of strategy and planning don't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And God is so present in that. If I would argue sometimes he's more present mm-hmm. in those times. And so we're going to talk about that as well. So if that's you, just stay tuned for this week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.